I'm sitting here in with Dr. Frank Pollard in his office in Jackson. He has been an example for us in Southern Baptist life and our preaching. I happened to follow him at a church. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. But I've learned from him and been encouraged by him over the years in the area of preaching. And I think all of us can learn from him as well. Frank, thank you for sharing your time today. Why don't we kind of set the stage by talking about when you first started thinking about being a preacher?
Okay, well, it was an unlikely place. I tell people that I used to go to Texas A&M when Aggies sit around telling idiot jokes, and now idiots stand around telling Aggie jokes. But I was in that state school and had learned that I wasn't going to be a baseball player. I was hitting too many line drives to the catcher and didn't know what I was going to do. And I was young. I was just 20 when I got out of college, but I was in my last year of school and wondering what should I do. And I had decided to become a committed Christian, that Christ would be Lord. And so I began to pray, Lord, I don't know how to find your will except just to ask you to make me want what you want. So I began to pray that he would make me want what he wanted, and I began to dream about being a preacher and to dream about standing before people, telling them about Jesus. And it scared me because I'd never made a speech. I'd never been a leader. I was not an outstanding student by any means. And to think about this and to think about getting to do it really excited me, but it took me many months before I'd tell anybody. But it all started just with a desire to know what God wanted me to do and him answering that prayer and making me want to do this.
You've come a long way from then, and obviously during the years you've been influenced by different people and by different influences. Can you pinpoint any particular individuals who have influenced you in your preaching?
Of course, I doubt that anybody in my generation could make a list without naming Billy Graham. He's just been such a thrilling inspiration to all of us with his attitude and with his preaching and the way God has used him. So Dr. Graham, even though I've never met him but casually, you know, really had a lot to do with that. I read the biography of R.G. Lee, and that really did touch my life. Somebody gave that to me. There was a preacher named Melton who was at Waco back in those days, and he just, I never met him, I never had the nerve to introduce myself to him, but his books and his preaching, I'd drive over when I could and hear him preach, and that meant a lot to me. Gordon Kleinard at Southwestern Seminary was the one who, when I came to school, found that I didn't have church background, I didn't have a biblical background, and so he checked children's Bible stories out of the library for me so I could learn the plot and learn who Abraham and David and those people were while I was studying Greek and Hebrew at the seminary. And he encouraged me a great deal to major in preaching because that wasn't being done back in my day. Pastors were not being encouraged to major on preaching. It was more like counseling, administration, and preaching is what you did to get to do the others. And my calling has always been just the opposite. And so he encouraged that a great deal.
We've all heard you preach in recent days at conferences or conventions, and so we know what Frank Pollard preaches like today, but none of us heard you preach back in that first little church or that first experience of preaching as a student at A&M. How has your preaching changed over the years? How do you preach differently now than, say, when you first began?
Well, when I first began, I preached to a bunch of folding chairs all by myself for the first 6 months, so now at least there's some people in the chairs. Back in those days as I began, the only preaching I heard was kind of topical, and then went to seminary and was taught to write a good paper and then try to speak that, because, you know, they make you speak in big points and middle-sized points and little points, and that was the way we used to do things, and we went through the time. Of course, times have changed and people have changed. This has become a picture kind of society. We don't read like we used to. We look at pictures, we look at television, and we have very short kind of memory spans. And so I've tried to find out how people communicate and have come full circle from writing a good paper and trying to speak the paper, speaking in a time when there used to be a time you could put a screen up and put an outline on it and outline scripture, and people would say, boy, isn't that good? They won't accept that anymore. And so more and more I've let people like Fred Craddock influence me as to how to draw pictures and to speak to people's experiences and to try to be as must be biblical. You're not preaching unless you're biblical, but I've tried to sort of bend with the times and become more and more like Jesus in preaching. Really, his society to which he communicated is much like ours today. They were a visual society, and they thought in pictures. and Jesus talked in pictures. And so I'm trying to learn more and more how to preach like that.
So the word simpler maybe would be a word to describe what you're saying, and focusing more on pictures. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Winston Churchill made some tapes that I found at Houston Baptist University once on how to make speeches. And I remember two things he said in all those tapes. I listened to hours of them, but he said, never use a big word when a little word will do. And never use a new little word when an old little word will do. And he said, and when you speak to people, have one point, not two, and give your point a whack and speak on a while and give it another whack and speak on a while and give it another whack and then speak on a while and give it a terrific whack and sit down. And really, when you think about verbal communication as opposed to written